Hello and welcome to the Audrey McGuckin Leadership Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to providing helpful insight from some of the industry's best and most respected leaders in the human capital space. I'm your host, Erica Ritchie, the Chief Client Officer at Audrey McGuckin Talent Solutions. And today we're joined by our CEO, Audrey McGuckin, along with Allison DeMasso, the former Vice President of Learning and Capability Building at Estee Lauder. So, Allison, before we get started here, why don't you share a little bit about yourself and your background?
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me to speak with you guys today. This is super exciting. I always like to share something a little personal about myself. And one of the things that I'm focused on this summer is just getting to know my children a little bit better before they hop into high school and middle school. So I have a son who's entering ninth, a daughter who's entering the sixth grade, and my goal is just to create as many good memories with them this summer. And I'm learning mountain biking. So that is something really cool that I've never done before, and I'm taking a slow start at it. But professionally, I have spent the last 20 years building a really interesting career at one of the most well-known beauty companies in the world, the Estee Lauder companies. And it's been the last 5 years that I have spent the majority of my time in the L&D space, so learning and development. And I have to say that's just put me on the path to my life's mission, which is helping others be their best. And the number one thing I've learned while working at Estee Lauder Company's beauty company is that beauty does happen from the inside out. And now I'm starting my own business, Raising Beauty, to help leaders and businesses all across industries learn the secrets of becoming beautiful so that great things can happen.
I love that. I love that you're learning to mountain bike. I'm a road cyclist. So awesome. Although I totally get it, people ask me if I want to mountain bike all the time. And I'm like, listen, me and trees, I don't need my face to hit a tree. So you are much braver than I am, but people will often say that about road cycling. So we can share some bike stories on maybe on a different podcast, but that's so great to hear. And I love that you talk about beauty being from the inside out. I think that that just is a mantra that we hold as a firm as well, of just really being human centered. So Audrey, I'm going to turn it over to you. Can you share with us how you and Allison know each other?
Yeah. Thanks, Erica. And, you know, I think our listeners know that I'm a huge fan and I have a huge belief in serendipity. And a lot of the times there's planned serendipity and a lot of the times it's unplanned, neither of which really matters. And so when you end up being in a space where you surround yourself with people that hold the same beliefs and the same values as you, you find that your circle just widens and widens and widens. And Allison and I met through a really dear mutual friend, Holly O'Driscoll. Holly's been on our podcast and, you know, she's part of the McGuckin Group team. And our focus has been this obsession with being human-centered in the human capital space. And so as Holly and I have navigated that space, she said, you know, you have to meet Allison. She's just somebody that shares the passion in that space. And so Allison and I had a really great conversation. And we just started, you know, dialoguing on this piece around human-centered in a human capital world. And we thought, gosh, this conversation's great. I think we need to give our listeners an opportunity to have exposure to some of the things that we talk about. So, yeah, that's how Allison and I got to know each other, Erica.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's dive into this, shall we? So I'd love to hear from you both. We'll start with you, Allison, on what you're seeing as some of the biggest challenges that are facing organizations today.
I think with everything going on inside and outside of businesses, really the number one thing the number one challenge that organizations face today boils down to the capability of their leadership. And I'll stop it right there. everything, every last thing from decision making to coaching to talent management, choices around technology. This is all driven by today's leadership. And leadership today and the role of leadership looks nothing like the way we've been raised through our professional backgrounds. So talking about competition, competition no longer exists in the industry that you share with others. Competition is coming from everywhere. How are beauty companies like Estee Lauder companies competing now with Amazon, competing now with Sephora, competing now with Nike and other brands that never would have even aligned before? The barriers to competition entering the marketplace are now gone. With the rise of technology, virtually anyone can stand up a business, and there's sleepers on the outside of the periphery, and there's no way for leaders to keep their eye on every single one. Skills gaps, huge, huge, huge focus for leaders. What type of talent is going to be required for the future? How do you keep an eye on the skills that are coming tomorrow? Skills today are going to be obsolete 18 months from now, and that's specifically in the area of technology. 50% of the jobs that will exist in 2030, haven't even been created yet. So how do leaders know how to plan for tomorrow? Where are they looking for this information, right? And when we get into technology, one of the things that I faced as a leader of learning, especially in the area of technology, I was literally frozen half the time with making huge decisions for the organization. With technology turning over every 6 months and something new and improved coming to the marketplace, how do you know that what you decide today is not going to be obsolete tomorrow? When you think about how technology changes human behavior, you start to reimagine what the employee will look like even 10 years from now. Take a look at the 10-year-olds that exist in your households today, and that will give you a first clue as to what we can expect of employees of tomorrow. How do we satisfy them in the workplace? And then, like I mentioned, the role of leadership is changing. No longer can leaders rely on their own expertise to manage their teams because it's outdated. They need to rely on the strength within their team and the knowledge of their team that they don't themselves know. And so the role of leadership has turned into more of a coach. Leaders today are responsible for more than 70% of an employee's experience and their happiness on the job. So this requires a whole new set of interpersonal skills. And that's why I'm super excited to talk today with you guys. Audrey just mentioned human-centeredness. Leaders of tomorrow need to be hyper-focused on human needs, unlocking and unleashing the potential of people within their teams. Their people skills are elevating to be the number one most in-demand skills of the future for leaders. So hands down, when that question comes to me, what's the biggest challenge that organizations are facing today? It's their leadership.
Well, you definitely just unpacked quite a few things. I love that it's all under the banner of leadership, but you know, you touched on competition, skill gap, technology, roles of leaders, and how that's changing in the marketplace. So Audrey, what does all of this look like from your vantage point?
Yeah. And, you know, Alison, I love your passion around this topic as well, and I can feel it. And we're able to see each other on this podcast as well. It's hear each other. So I can just see you leaning in and your the pure passion that you have for that, which I love. And I think that's one of the reasons that we had some strong affinity, was this common passion that we have in this space. And Erica, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing, and I just got back from Germany last night, and so the challenges we're seeing are the same the world over. It doesn't matter where you are. And you know, I was doing some work with an organization over there, and I said, you know, to the audience, go ahead and raise your hand if you've been part of an acquisition in the last 12 months. And so we had people raising their hand. And then I said, you know, go ahead and raise your hand if If you've been a company that's acquired another company, and so we had more people, go ahead and raise your hand if you've been part of a team that's really had to embrace new technology. And then more people raise their hand. And then go ahead and raise your hand if you've had to enter new markets in the last 12 months. And so by the time we asked those five questions, there wasn't anybody in the room that didn't have their hand raised. And so this big trend that we're seeing in the marketplace is that there's significant change across industries, across countries, and across leadership cohorts. So it doesn't really matter. What matters is that there's a lot of change. And so then the question becomes, with change, you always get dips in productivity, no matter what. So at best, our employees are 70% productive on a good day. And when we see a change coming through the system, that will dip to 20-30% productivity. And so the question for leaders is, I'm always talking about the bottom line. I'm always talking about the dollars or the euros or whatever it may be. But the bottom line is, how do we close the productivity gap that organizations feel because of change in the system? And I have a really strong feeling that the way you change that productivity gap is by engaging with your employees in a human-centered way. So the way you get to the money on the table, the way you get to the discretionary effort, the way you get to engaged employees, I believe is through human-centered leadership, which is how do you inspire? And before you can inspire, you have to know your leaders. And then the question becomes, well, how do you get to know them? And so you have to be curious, and you have to have really robust conversations with a level of candor, and you have to be courageous in what you put on the table. And those are all of the things that we think as a firm, that's when the magic happens. And not only is it when the magic happens, it's how you get to the dollars, and it's how you get to the money on the table, and it's how your employees are left feeling fulfilled, inspired, and engaged. So I know that's a long answer to your question, Erica, but I can see Alison's wheels turning, and I'd kind of love to pull up Alison and have that conversation and just where we're seeing some similarities.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, as you were talking, you're talking about dollars and cents and what matters at the end of the day, bottom line to businesses. I was actually using my calculator and calculating a few things, because that comment alone and productivity and the stats you just threw out and the level of productivity, it helped me recall a stat that I came across earlier this year by Gartner. So Gartner Research, right? For every one unproductive employee, so one unproductive employee costs a company's revenue $17,000. So one unproductive employee, $17,000. And I just did quick math. If we're talking about an organization with 5,000 employees, or assuming 5,000 employees are coming to work unproductive every day, that is potentially costing an organization $85 million a year. So anyone who struggles with having this conversation with leaders, just do that quick math, and that conversation automatically gets opened up real quick. So, and I love what you talk about in terms of getting to know your leaders, getting to know your people. And it's actually one of the things that I've seen work tremendously across the board in all the work I've done at the Estee Lauder companies, specifically within teams that have taken time just to get to know one another on a human level. So just as simple as getting to know something personal about the people you work with, how the level of respect increases, how level of engagement increases, how camaraderie increases within a team, happiness increases within a team. So just building simple empathy within a team, getting to know each other on a human basis is actually one of the main concepts that I focus on with the work that I do with leadership teams. So I'm loving that you brought that up.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that that I'm really thoughtful about is trying to minimize buzzwords and trying to minimize in vogue concepts. I spent maybe 20 plus years having access to, you know, two or three leaders through my own personal journey that I would say were exceptionally human-centered. Now, these are not, you know, this is not about being in vogue, and it's not about being modern and contemporary and using buzzwords. It's really about, if I think back over my last 20-something years, the leaders that I've seen have the most impact are leaders that will walk the floor, whatever floor it is, whether it's a global floor, whether it's a virtual floor, they walked the manufacturing floor. Now, they didn't walk it to check on people. They walked it to get to know their people, to get to know their people on a deeper level, to get to know how many kids they had, to get to know when, you know, one of them was sick. And I think the challenge has been for new cohorts of leaders is that we have this overlay of technology. We have this overlay of just abundance, and we have this overlay of complexity, and we have an overlay of five generations in the workplace. So it's not that being human-centered is new, it's just it's really harder in the world we live in today. And I think, you know, the perspective I come from is, it's almost like, let's get back to basics. Let's go back to what are some of the human needs that people have. And it's a need to be listened to, a need to be understood, a need to be heard, and a need to be valued. And those are not, you know, things that are fleeting strategies that come and go. Those are staples that are really the core of leadership. And I think, Alison, that the work you and I do is really about how do we bring that to life in a modern, contemporary, complex world for new leaders that may or may not have had those repetitions.
Well, one of the things that I think this boils down to, and when I hear you talk about listening, getting to know people, recognizing, understanding the value, I like to help leaders focus on the truth. And focusing on the truth takes courage and it takes vulnerability at the same time. And what do I mean by truth? It's very much listening to yourself, listening to the instincts that you have, listening to your own set of values, and not a list of values that you think you should be living up to, but your own set of values, your own strengths inside of you, and getting to understand that who is true to who you are, what is your own truth. The other thing is, don't be afraid to look at the truth of what's going on with your business. So you talk about it, the leaders who are walking the shop floors, they're there to seek out what's true, what's the reality of their business, what is going on in the front lines, what do they need to be paying attention to? And this is the same thing for leaders in any industry. With respect to employees, don't be afraid to listen to the feedback that's actually coming, whether it be negative, positive, challenging, painful at times. Very much the same way everyone is hyper-focused on listening to the consumer. But even with that, pay attention to what consumers are saying in the social media space. Listen to the comments that are coming across. Almost every single company that stood up has a customer service arm to the business or client services, tap into that to understand the truth coming from your consumers. So many times we like to brush the feedback under the carpet, brush it away, sugarcoat it, put a twist on it to make it look successful. And in my opinion, just looking at the truth helps you to see. When you can see something clearly, you know exactly what needs to be done next. It's not a time to shy away, but it's a time to lean in. And I think that has a lot to do with human to human interaction, listening, being vulnerable. These are very human elements to leadership.
No, for sure. And I love that. And our team, actually, we just spent some time together last week or 2 weeks ago. And, you know, one of the things that we were doing is we were looking at our branding for the firm. And as part of that, we did a lot of work on our social field, and meaning who are our stakeholders, what are they saying, what are they feeling, what are their sleep loss issues. And then I think that, you know, it really struck me in that moment that that's the work of leadership as well. You know, if you're a leader, what is your social field? And who are all of the players that are in your social field, and where are their connection points? And it really struck me when we were doing that work around consumers that it really applied to employees and leaders as well. So I just thought that was interesting. And I think the other thing, you know, Alison, that I've heard you talk about before is this notion of truth. And so we all have our own truth, and it's about identifying it, naming it, linking and labeling it. A year or so ago, I went through some work with the Human Performance Institute.
Yes,
and it's really a fascinating experience that they create for leaders that participate in that program, and part of the work that they do is helping leaders really identify what's the story that they're playing in their head. So what's the truth that they're telling themselves, and is that really the truth? You know, for some people it's about, you know, it's about this notion of they work too hard. And I could probably put myself in that place as well, right? You do too many hours. And so what's the truth I'm telling myself for the reasons for me doing that? For other people, it's about their health. You know, it might be about weight gain or weight loss. And, you know, what's the truth that they're telling themselves? And mine used to be about exercise. And my truth I was telling myself was, well, I travel. And so it's really hard to work out when I travel. And so, you know, one of the days that I was working on myself, I said, what's my truth about this? And the truth is, I need to work out every day, even if I'm traveling or not. And so now what I do is a FaceTime workout with my trainer. And so I think that's just an example of what are the stories and the tapes that we're playing in our own head.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I went through the same program at the Human Performance Institute. I'm certified as a coach in that content as well. And one of the things, you hit the nail on the head, what are the stories we're telling ourselves? One simple thing that leaders can do when they lead or start a team meeting, and I see this work well when we're at project meetings or PMO meetings, when you're reporting on status of initiatives, a leader can simply say, the truth I'm telling myself about this project is, does anyone have a different story?
Yeah.
About what's happening, what's really happening with this project. And it just brings authenticity to the table immediately and opens up the floor for everyone to lean in with their perspective so that you really get to the heart of the problem. And there's no blaming, there's no assigning of facts. It's really showing up authentically, saying the story I'm telling myself about this project is, we're on time and I keep seeing green, And I believe we're going to get there. Does anyone have a different truth that they want to bring to the table? And I just feel like that's an easy way to step into an authentic meeting. And it's one simple twist of words. So it's so interesting that you brought it up.
And I think it's these conversations that I really love that our listeners just get access to, just to hear you and I talking through some of this stuff, Allison.
Absolutely. And the other thing that you brought up, social field, that is super interesting. And it's not, it's not a phrase I've heard before, but when you were talking about it, it made me think of community and collaboration and how leaders today just need to collaborate in ways that they've never had to collaborate before. So this goes beyond just teamwork. Initiatives today and to move big ideas and big innovations requires work across the entire enterprise. So departments and teams that you never traditionally worked with, like legal, the technology team, your indirect procurement team, your vendor relations team, and external clients. So even at the Estee Lauder companies, even in the learning space, we were working with companies like LinkedIn, Microsoft, Opinium, Salesforce. We had large name organizations externally working internally with all of our stakeholder teams across the enterprise. You have members of partners involved in a project that normally would never work with each other. And so collaborating at that level requires, it all goes back down to building human relationships, bringing value together, recognizing that everybody has a role and responsibility. It's super fascinating to me.
And that no one person has all the answer, right?
Right.
Yeah. And it's really this notion of building on others' ideas. And I think, you know, what we've found as well, it's hard to physician yourself, meaning it's hard to do this work inside your own team, which is, you know, as a firm, we engaged with a number of external providers, but it was one of the reasons that we decided to go external with our work on branding, because we really believed that it's hard to physician yourself, and we needed somebody to guide us through those conversations. And so what we find is that very often when we're working with clients, what we're doing is we're creating this transformational experience where they get time to work on themselves because they're not trying to facilitate this for their own teams.
One of the number one thing that I've learned along the way is it is not a solo mission. The solo mission of a leader and their own team. Having diverse perspective can feel a little scary, opening up and letting go of a little bit of control around a project. But having that diverse perspective helps you create something you could never have imagined creating on your own. The innovation and the creativity that comes from it is quite amazing. I remind myself of this because it is human nature that you cling to what you know and you want to own, and you want to own it with your team. But the more people you can bring in who are critical in making the work happen and really include them as partners from the beginning with a voice, a shared voice and learnings, it's an amazing, amazing process. And I think it sets leaders up, that new role of leadership, as a connector as well, being able to connect the dots.
All right, guys, I'm going to jump in here. It has been awesome to really listen to the conversation. And there have been so many moments that I, Audrey, as being a part of your team, as you're talking about what it felt like to bring in somebody who facilitated for our team and some of the value of that and moments of truth that you've created for us. And I just am sitting here shaking my head as you guys are talking because I get to live the value of this all the time. And it's really, I love it. I love being a part of a team like this. And, there are days where I'm like, this just seems so logical. Why isn't everyone human-centered? But, you know, we see that, you know, we do have to, it's a learned skill and we do have to be intentional about it. But I want to close this out with one last question for each of you. So we've talked about a lot of different solutions and things that have been impactful, but if you had to pick one thing, one piece of advice for an organization experiencing disruption or change, what would you say?
I 100% believe that any challenge that an organization is facing on the outside stems and roots from what's going on the inside of the organization. And so I am a firm believer that you need to turn inside first to understand how to unleash the beauty, the strength, the potential of the people you've invested in, whether that be listening to them, hearing the truth from them, seeing firsthand the realities, and then turn that outward, and you'll be able to address your problems with much more strength and confidence.
Love that. Audrey, we like to encourage organizations to start with one easy step. What's one easy step that our listeners can take today?
You know, just as I was reflecting on this conversation and thinking, you know, what would be that first easy next step? And at an individual leader level, a first easy next step is before you go into a meeting with any of your employees, just take a minute and just take out a piece of paper and write down, what might my employee be feeling right now? What might they have on their mind right now? What might be something that they're afraid of right now, or what are they excited about? It doesn't, just start to write that down, and we call it an empathy map. But again, we don't need to link and label it. We call it empathy mapping, and it's really the process of, and I learned this many, many years ago and early on in my career. One of my mentors said to me, just walk in somebody else's shoes for a minute. And how does it feel for them? And so empathy map equals just walk in somebody else's shoes. What does it feel like to walk in Alison's shoes right now? And just write down whatever it comes to mind. And that really starts that empathy process inside. So for individual leaders, before you go into your next meeting with your employee, just walk in their shoes for a minute. What does it feel like for them and what's going on? For CEOs, how are you going to create the conditions for success where this human-centered approach to human capital can really take hold? How are you going to introduce it in your staff meetings? How are you going to introduce it into the work you do with leadership development? How are you going to introduce it to the work you do with clients? So Erica, I gave you more than one step as always.
But they're great ones. We'll just put dashes in between them. We'll call it one. But this has been a fabulous conversation, and it has been really great to be with both of you and to hear your excitement, to hear your passion, to see the things that are challenging the market right now, but also the impactful solutions that people can take in the next step. So thank you guys so much. Just a fantastic perspective from you both. And it has been a pleasure to be with you guys. And thank you all for listening to this episode of the Audrey McGuckin Leadership Podcast. We look forward to you joining us on our next episode.
Yeah. Thanks, Alison. This was great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been so fun. Thanks.
Bye, everyone.